If you've ever wondered why I present Jesus to you, it's because Jesus died for you on a cross. He's God's Son. He is God. And God so loved the world that He gave us the Lord Jesus. And Jesus came to this earth and He lived on this earth, and then He was taken and crucified on a cross. And when He died on that cross, He took upon Himself your sin and my sin. And He died. And when He died, your sin and my sin died with Him. And then by the power of God, He was raised on the third day, so that Jesus now is alive. And when Jesus came out of the grave, He didn't bring our sin with Him. Our sin remained in the grave. So now here it is. All of us have sinned. Every one of us is a sinner. The only way that you can have a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, is through the Lord Jesus, because He's the way. He's truth. He's the life. No man can come to God excepting through Jesus, because Jesus is the one who, through His death and resurrection, makes it possible for you and me to be forgiven of our sin. Because when we trust Him, when we confess our sin and repent before Him and give our hearts and lives to Him, and He comes into our lives, our sin, past tense, is present tense forgiven, because Christ has already paid the price. He did that for me.
That unique voice, that wonderful South African brogue, is Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author and evangelist and our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, as we continue to find your story in the story. We'll dive into the teaching in just a moment, but Dr. Wilton wants me to remind you that we're here for you. We'd love to launch into your life in any way we can to encourage you towards God's Word. Maybe you want to visit us on our website. It's theencouragingword.org. Hope you'll drop by. You can not only see this message, hear this message, but discover other resources that will help you grow in your daily life, including the Daily Encouraging Word Bible Guide. You can sign up right there online. I'll tell you how to text and sign up later, but just know that we're available for you online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Why did Haman become the right arm of King Xerxes? Why did the Jews have to go through all this suffering? You must remember they heard about the edict. They set the day, the time. They were going to go and obliterate the Jewish nation. By the way, do you know how they obliterated them? Amongst many other things, you read about it. It's awful. They would put poles up and they would impale people on those poles. That was one of their methods of execution. Just awful. I can't even describe that. And these Jews knew what was going to await them. Their children were going to be killed and their homes taken away. They were going to be eliminated. Why did they have to go through that pain? Now, you and I are looking at it because we know the end of the story. We say, oh, well, it didn't happen. But they didn't know that. So why did Queen Esther call a banquet? Why did Queen Esther do what she did? Why did Mordecai sit at the gate in sackcloth and ashes? Why did Mordecai call out to the Lord his God? Why did he counsel Esther to just simply surrender herself to the voice of God? Why? Well, we know why. Because God had a plan all the time to redeem His people. The verse that I want you to hold in your heart today is Romans 8 and verse 28. It goes like this. We know that God is working all things together for the good of those that love Him and to those who are the called according to His purpose. We know, Paul said, that God is working all things together. What all things? King Xerxes, Ashti, the queen, Haman, the Holocaust, Mordecai, Esther, the masquerade, the pain, the suffering, the diagnoses, the journey, the sewer, the thought, the fear. God is working all things together for the good of those that love Him, to those who are the called. Lucy according to his purpose. Tell us about your journey, Lucy. What's going on? What is God doing? You've been diagnosed with cancer, and Steve, you come in at any time you choose. What tell us about it? We want to just listen to your story in these stories.
Well, it started when I was 17. I had a tumor come up in my nose, and the doctors here didn't know much about it. It's a form of chondrosarcoma called mesenchymal chondrosarcoma. And so we went to the Mayo Clinic to be treated early on. And I can remember the very first oncologist appointment that I had. It was with Dr. Edmondson, and my mother smiling about it because we remember him fondly. He was a no-nonsense kind of doctor. Very frank bedside manner, and he looked at us. My parents and I were in the room with him, and he said, "This is very rare, and you should know that it's going to be a really long, hard journey. You're going to be very sick. The treatment's going to make you vomit, and you're going to lose your hair." And somewhere in there, he used the word ugly. And yeah, and then he looked at my parents, and he said, "You need to prepare yourselves that she won't live to see her 18th birthday." But clearly, God had a plan, because here I am, and I'm 37, and 20 years has passed. So, you know, God is good in that regard, but he was right. The journey was hard for a while, and for the next 4 years, we struggled with cancer. It grew up my face and my forehead, and I had lots of different surgeries through it, but it came to that point where it was done, and they used the word cured. And so for 11 years, cancer was not in our vocabulary. And Steve and I met, and we got married, and we were raising our boys, and things were really good. And while we're having that lull period of just living life, for our time together, like anniversaries or Christmas or whatnot, instead of buying presents for each other, we would go on trips. And we always seemed to wind up in New York. I don't really know why. There was just something about the city.
Didn't understand.
Yeah, it was just something about the city.
Why
that.
Why New York? I mean, who wants to go to New York?
We did, apparently.
Right?
Yeah. And we loved it. And so, you know, whenever that opportunity would come about where we could take a vacation together, we would look at other places, but ultimately we would always go back to New York. And one of Steve's cousins had a business rate at the Courtyard Marriott on 53rd and 3rd. And so we ended up staying there, and we loved it. It felt like home to us. So that kind of brings us up to 3 years ago. I was upstairs teaching Wednesday night Bible study with Angela Springsteen. I was teaching the sixth grade girls, and I had an itch underneath my collar. So I just reached underneath my necklace and I scratched, and there was a knot in my shoulder. And I knew right then what it was. And I asked Angela Springsteen if she would step outside with me. And I just said, "I just need you to be praying about this." And so I prayed all the way home, and Steve and I talked about it. And the next day, we went and saw an oncologist here in town, and we had not been to any oncologist in years. And so even the person who God got us to there was very pivotal in our journey.
From New York.
She was from New York. And she got us involved with scans, and we saw a thoracic surgeon who removed the tumor. And she called us back in for a checkup. And she said, "I got to tell you the results. It is cancer. It's exactly what you had. And there's some residue left. And we don't have enough experience here with it to really help you. You need to go somewhere else." And so Steve looked at Dr. Mehta and said, "What are your suggestions? Should we go back to Mayo Clinic? What should we do?" And she said, "Well, by now a decade has passed. So they've put your stuff up probably, and they're moving on. And I know that some of my doctors had retired or moved on to other hospitals." And so Steve said, what do you suggest? And she said, "I think you need to send it to your top three."
Yeah, she sent it to three clinics, Mayo, right. MD Anderson in Houston, and MSKCC in West Long County.
Which we knew nothing about. We knew nothing about the hospital. Didn't know where it was, didn't know who was there, nothing. So they overnighted it. So we went out to our car, and we bowed our heads, because at this point, everything was happening so fast, we knew that we had no control. And we didn't want control, because we trust God. We know that he holds us in the palm of his hands, and we know that he is using us in his big story. And so we just stopped, and we prayed, and we said, "God, whoever calls us first is where we're going. So wherever it is you want us to go, that's who calls us first." And the very next day,
I'm sitting at my desk in the office at home, and the phone rings, and it's a patient rep from MSKCC in New York.
And he says, "We can see you next week." Right. We did not hear from another
For a month
before we heard from any of the other clinics. And so God had made up his mind and we said, we're there. So literally, like, we started making plans and we got there, and through...
They sent us the appointment card.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tell us about that.
And we looked at the address, and the address was 3rd Avenue and 53rd Street.
Wait, it gets better. It gets better. It's in the actual building of the hotel. There's a door at the bottom of the hotel that leads into the lobby of the clinic. And so we knew the whole area. We knew exactly where we were going, and it's so perfect.
Affirmation.
Yeah. God just said, I gotcha. It's, you know, we're good. So through different appointments and scheduling, we end up getting with Dr. Baines. And it's...
Dr. Papa.
Yeah, we call him Dr. Papa. He is precious to us. We love him. He treats me like a grandfather. I mean, like a granddaughter. He's like a grandfather to me. So I call him Dr. Papa. And through our relationship with him and the subsequent years that followed with the cancer coming back in my lungs and all the surgeries and the biopsies, we go back every 4 months to see them. The Lord has given us such a love and a passion for the people in New York. Like, that's the people that God has called us to. But in specifically, the patients that are in the beds beside me, the nurses who come into my room, all the doctors that we see, it's been such an honor and such a privilege. I would say that every time that we go back, we take the opportunity to go back and see them. You know, we want them to know that we love them. They pour themselves out for us. I mean, they spend so much of their time and their effort making sure that I'm well. And the only thing of value that I have to give them that we do is our relationship with Christ. To show his love to them as he has loved us and has taken care of us. And one of the great things that we had the privilege of doing is praying with a friend. The last stay that we had in the hospital this past October, mm-hmm. because I've had two surgeries, you know, since the two Octobers before. And her name was Robin. And I actually asked her if I could talk about her and Andy today. The rooms are, how do you say
semi-private.
It? Semi-private. Yeah, semi-private. And there's just a curtain, like, separating me from the person next to you, which is fine with me. I don't mind, because I'm there to love on people as I get the opportunity to. And Robin came in. She was the last. We had 4 days together in the week that I was there. And she was very sick. She had lost all her hair from treatment. She actually had a purple bandana with pink skulls on it that her sons had given her to wear. And she was just this precious lady, but she was really sick. And all week we had talked a little bit, but the very last day, the Lord was just stirring her heart and ours. And we just desperately wanted to have an opportunity to talk to her about our faith and how we got through this journey and these last years together. And she was sitting in the bed beside us, and I had prayed, and I'd sent a really good friend of mine a text, and I just said, I just need you to pray right now. Whatever you're doing, stop and pray, because every time I go to talk to her and she asks me about our story, somebody walks in the room. And so I'm like, just pray that an angel will guard the door. I just need some time with her so that I can tell her what the Lord has done for us and encourage her. And so the Lord just orchestrates it literally toward the end of the day, where everybody's gone and it's just me and her. And she pulls the curtain back and she says, okay, we're finally alone at last. Tell me your story. And so I have the opportunity to share our faith in Christ and what we'd been through and how the Lord was just guiding our steps and how we'd gotten to where we were. And it was so precious, just how excited she was to hear it. And she was very receptive to it. She's just a really precious lady. Well, I had not gotten the last of our story out when her doctors walked in. And they pulled the curtain closed, and I said, I'm right here if you need me. And she said, okay, because she was by herself. And they delivered terrible news to her, just devastating news about breast cancer, that it had metastasized and that they couldn't help her anymore. There was nothing else that they could really do for her other than treatment, that there was no cure. And it was very blunt, and it was really hard for her to hear, I'm sure, especially since she was by herself. And I was devastated, like tears are rolling down my face because my heart's so broken for her. And he walks out of the room, and I like yank the curtain back. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what can I do for you? And she just begins to weep, and she cries, and she says, I don't even know what to say. And I just said, can I pray for you right now? And she said, yes. And I just fell to my knees beside her bed, and I just prayed for her. I don't even know what I said. I just prayed. prayed that God would give her peace. And at the end of it, tears are just rolling down her face. And she said, I feel such peace. And I was like, that's not me. That's the Holy Spirit. You just got zinged by the Holy Spirit. And, it's a great thing. And so later on that night, Steve had a chance to share with Andy, and it was just really great. And then they released me that night, and I wondered if I'd ever see her again. And she texted me later on that day, and she said, I've just been thinking about you. I can't get you off my mind. We just love you guys so much. And the next time you're in town, let us know. So when we went back last week, we saw her.
Yeah.
And had that opportunity to have dinner with her, and it was really great. And so what we've come to really realize that's our mission field. And what the Lord is saying to us constantly is, when I think about Esther, is that she came to that moment of decision where she had to make a decision about her life and the life of her people. And she made the decision to surrender. And that's what I would say to those people who are laying in the hospital bed today, or you're struggling with a cancer. And it may not be actually cancer. It may be homelessness or, you know, unemployment, or you may be the caretaker of someone who is sick. I would have to say that for us, so many people have said, oh, you're making a sacrifice. And I told the pastor yesterday, it's not a sacrifice. A sacrifice would mean that we own ourselves and that our story is our story. It's not our story. It's His story. God said that I have been bought with a price. I am not my own. And so for Steve and I, it's really just surrendering. We're just surrendering our lives. We're just a very small chapter in the big kingdom story. And God said, just surrender. And why would I not surrender in the palm of a, you know, in the palm of a God, in the hand of a God who loves me and knows me and knit me in my mother's womb? And so for us, we just are so grateful for that opportunity to love on those doctors and nurses. I mean, if Christ is willing to go to the cross for me, how can I not be willing to go to a hospital bed to bring Him glory? How can we say no to that? He's so faithful. He's so faithful. So if you're listening, or you're sitting out there today and you're on the fence about knowing who Christ is, or just surrendering your life and your circumstance to Him, just do it. Just don't wait. I mean, it's the best decision you will ever make, to trust in a God who already knows the end of the story. It's already decided.
Forgive the interruption. Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we're not just making a presentation of the gospel and God's encouragement, but we stand ready to encourage you in any way we can. Perhaps it's keyboard to keyboard. There's opportunities to connect with us on our website at theencouragingword.org. We'd love to meet you there right now, or on the phone as well. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you and for you, connect with resources at 866-899-WORD. I hope you'll jot it down or store it in your cell as TEW. Let us be a resource for you, even as a 2 a.m. friend, to pray with you and for you at 866-899-9673. We really would love the opportunity to pray with you and for you. And just want to say thank you. We've had some unique things happen this summer. And you know, summers are sometimes difficult times in ministries where folks are on vacation and they forget to give. But we've had some wonderful opportunities to see God work by just reminding you that that is a need. And as a matter of fact, during these summer months, we have a unique opportunity of saying thank you for those of you who are maybe adding an extra gift, for those that are on vacation or perhaps forget to what's going on. You need to know, we would love to put the wonderful book called Traveling Light by Max Lucado. And Max has made this available to us to give to you for your gift of that extra amount here in the summer months. So if you'd consider that, just let us know. You can call us and tell us you'd like to do that at 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. We appreciate that. We want you to feel never compelled to give. I would never want to try to talk you into. Dr. Wilton strictly says, Britt, don't ever try to talk somebody into giving. But if the Lord leads you to give, and we would be ready to receive not only that gift, but make this pledge to you that what you give will be used to lift up the name of Jesus through God's encouraging word. Now let's get back to today's message with Dr. Wilton, called Find Your Story in the Story.
No, Lucy, it's just, I cannot get over, I see Lucy a lot. I cannot get over the joy and the peace that comes out of Lucy's heart. She is very sick. And just last week, they discovered another cancer growth in your lungs, Lucy. Mm-hmm. You know, and you and Steve You so inspire me. And when I look at you, you know, Lucy, I have so many questions. I do. I'm well, and I'm looking at you as your friend and as your pastor. And I've got a lot of questions. And I ask myself, how do you do something like that? And I look at Esther, and I see Esther in exile, and even though she was in exile, she never relinquished her faith and trust in her God. She never changed. And it was that strong belief. It was that powerful surrender. I think you used the word surrender, didn't you? And it seems to me that if we bring anything away with us, Lucy, would you not say that the issue is not what God must or is going to do? It's surrendering to what God will do. Is that right?
Absolutely.
I mean, didn't Esther do that?
She did.
Mordecai just surrendered. I think this story is as much about Mordecai as it is about Esther. Mm-hmm. Where are you today? You know, I want you to know how much we love you and how much we're partnered. We really pray for one another. Give up, relinquish, make up your mind that no matter what your exile looks like, no matter what spot has shown up on your lung, surrender your life to Him, because when you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what glory He sheds on the way. And I don't know, we don't know, we may not know, Steve, we don't know what some people may. Sometimes that's a very dark place to be. Maybe you are visiting your New York and you don't really know why, but God is working all things together. God's getting you ready. God is taking the things in your life. God's using all these things because He's got a plan for you, His purpose. Are you walking with Him? I want to invite you to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. When you do that, you will find your story in His story. And I'm telling you, the end result, you and I can't begin to imagine. You and I can't begin to imagine. We can't begin to imagine.
What a powerful invitation. Perhaps you don't know that song, Walk with the Lord in the Light of His Word, but it could be a new song in your life to see how God's light will illuminate your steps. You know, the Lord doesn't really promise that roadmap lit out there 10 years from now, but He does promise to light every single step we take in faith. And some, maybe you, need to make the step like I did to say yes to Jesus as Savior and Lord. Not just to know about Him, but to know Him. We stand ready to speak with you 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. Let's have that conversation, 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And now our chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that You love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to You. And I invite You to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
Again, if the Lord's spoken to you, let us hear about it. Let us get connected with you. Let us put resources in your hand that will help you grow in your faith. Our number is 866 866-899-9673. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. I just want to say thank you. Many of you have begun praying for the ministry and financially supporting the ministry. We call you guys encouragers, and just know you are very much appreciated.
Hello, my friends. I want to speak to you personally today from my heart to yours. I don't think there is ever a better or more important time for us to respond to our world by standing up for righteousness. Now, with this in mind, I would like to invite you to become an encourager ministry partner. You see, together we can impact lives both now and for all time and all eternity. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please call the number on your screen and just simply say, I want to become an encourager. You know, I want to say something to you personally. You ready for this? Thank you. It's a powerful word, isn't it? Small one, powerful. I want to thank you. You see, the sun hardly rises or sets in a day that we don't see people coming to know Christ through this broadcast ministry. Every day. And you make that possible through your prayers, most of all, and through your financial giving. God is doing something great. And in our world today, this medium of television, very important, folks. This is very, very important. God is allowing us to go into more and more homes across the United States of America. Thank you for helping us make this possible. And let's never stop praying that people would come to know Jesus. God bless you.
That number one more time is 866-899-WORD. 866-899-9673. You'll find that and so much more to connect with us on our website at theencouragingword.org as well. I pray you'll join us for tomorrow's Friday edition of The Encouraging Word. We're really excited about more of this concept of how God's story is being written in our lives every single day. Let's make sure we're following His leadership as the author of our lives. Till then, take care and God bless.
How very blessed Bob and I have been to have worshiped by way of TV and radio. We thank you both for the way you ministered to us both. And then after the passing of my beloved Bob last November, and my not being able to get out on my own to go to a local church after my knee surgery, it has been a difficult time for me after spending 58 years with such a godly, wonderful man. And your messages have helped me to recover. Thank you for your constant focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and loving us all as He has loved us. As Bob's last name was Maine, he would have loved that you have adopted the great saying, keep the main thing the main thing. Congrats on 25 wonderful years.